Hey, everybody. Welcome to Awaken Life, 3 o'clock on Monday here in KKNW, Transformation Talk Radio, and our flagship station WBLQ out of Rhode Island. Coming to you coast to coast, and boy, do we have a great show for you today with a very special guest that we just feel so honored to have joining us today talking about natural medicine. And I'll be telling you much more about him as we move into the hour and letting you know what's in store for you. As usual, joined by my sidekick riding shotgun, Rick Seward.
Hi, Adam. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here. How you feeling today?
Feeling good. This is going to be an exciting show. I can't wait.
Yeah. Can you believe, I mean, just this guest that we're having today, I mean, just what the work that he's doing and the impact that he's having in the field of natural medicine. I mean, I just feel like we're really in store for a treat.
This is going to be fun. He has sold over 5 million books.
Oh, my goodness.
5 million books.
That's a lot of books.
That's a lot of books. And they're books that he wrote, not somebody else.
Right. Right. And Eric is joining us as usual. Eric, great to see you.
Great to see you. Adam, you sound like you got just a touch of a cold. Am
you
I
know,
right?
This weekend on Friday, I came down with something, and I'm you know, I was using Afrin to kind of, you know, Dr. Murray might, you know, we'll see what he thinks about that. But
right.
I was using that on Friday, and I had to go cold turkey yesterday, you know, because it's, you know how it's kind of worse after you're using it, how it just gets even more clogged afterwards?
I don't use Afrin, so I don't know, but I'm guessing.
Well, take it from me. It's you know, it's great at first, and then usually end up a little more clogged afterwards. So
uh-huh.
I feel great.
Good.
But I'm still a little clogged up.
All right. Well, so. I hope it goes away soon.
Thank you. Dr. Murray will help us on that one, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure there's a natural remedy. I mean, maybe.
Well, that's the great thing about having your own show, right? Any kind of problem you have, you just book a guest.
Yes.
Right. Give you advice on what
that's
to do.
Right.
That relates to the solution.
Good timing.
Perfect. Exactly. And, you know, this is also a special show because this week marks the one-year anniversary of the fire that I went through last year. Some of you who don't know, on October 23rd, which was a year ago yesterday, I actually lost everything that I owned in a fire. And it was very ironic because I just finished writing a book that had everything to do with letting go and non-attachment. And just to get a phone call saying that, you know, Adam, sorry, your home's burned down. You've lost everything you've owned. And part of what that did was it set off a chain of events that led to the creation of Awaken Life and also the creation of a platform that is really designed to help facilitate the flowering of human and planetary consciousness, which part of that is the Awakening Foundation. And interestingly, exactly 1 year after that event, today we are launching the new AdamSeward.com. And I'm very excited to tell you about that because there's a lot of time, a lot of energy that's gone into it, and it's really designed to be a platform for awakening here in the Seattle community and really across the globe. So if I'm announcing it now, it's up, it's going. If you want to see it, it's at AdamSeward.com. And I want to thank Carl and Gina Benedetto. They from Chimera Studios. They're the ones that helped put this together, and they just did a fantastic job. And I'm just really so grateful to them. If you're listening, thank you guys so much. You've really helped bring, you know, 10 years really of a journey of mine awakening onto an online platform. And so I just am so grateful to you for that. And again, I just want to encourage anyone listening, you know, to, if you want to check it out, it's AdamSeward.com. So I am, you know, I can't really just tell you how excited I am to talk to Dr. Murray today. We're going to actually bring him on after the first break. What he's doing in the field of natural medicine is unlike anyone I've ever seen. I mean, he has written over 20 books, but he's also really done the research in terms of finding how the scientific evidence of how the natural approach to medicine works. There's a real misconception out there that natural healing remedies and approaches are not based in science. But the fact is that for most common illnesses, there's tremendous support in the medical literature for a more natural approach. And part of the philosophy, you could say, of awakened life is that we live in an evolving universe. And one of the characteristics of our universe is that the universe is always taking care of itself. It has a what you could call a self-correcting, self-healing mechanism, where if there's an aspect that of its, which includes you, because you're part of the universe, Dad, right? You know, part of what the universe is always doing is it's taking care of itself. In fact, it's actually really, it gets really high marks in self-care.
Yes.
And really the natural approach, I feel, and I'm really excited to talk to Dr. Murray about this today, but I feel like the natural approach really honors that inherent capacity of which is really the basic nature of the universe to heal itself. And I'm sure that there's people out there, plenty of people who are listening, who are suffering from all kinds of things, from anxiety to depression. Maybe you've got back pain. Maybe there's issues of your diet, diabetes, et cetera. Dr. Murray, from what I can tell, has a natural solution to just about any physical problem that exists. And so I'm not the expert. I'm not going to tell you about natural medicine necessarily, but I just want to say that as far as awakened life is concerned, as far as the evolution of consciousness on our planet is concerned, the natural approach to healing is such a vehicle for expressing the evolution of consciousness that's happening on our planet. And so I just really can't wait to introduce you to Michael. And he, like I said, he's going to be coming on after the break. As a matter of fact, is it okay, Eric? Let's just go to our first break. We're gonna be back with Michael Murray. I can't wait to introduce you. You're listening to Awaken Life here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
Listen to the Marie Manucherry Show, where energy and medicine meet every Tuesday and Thursday at noon. It's intelligent and provocative radio. Tuesdays is boot camp for the soul to help you soar. Thursdays, Marie interviews guests from an incredibly talented lineup. To learn more about Marie and her radio show, visit energyintuitive.com or connect with her on Facebook and Twitter. That's the Marie Manucherry Show, every Tuesday and Thursday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silberman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silberman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Adam Seward, and you're listening to Awaken Life here on KKNW, Transformation Talk Radio. Again, I'm so excited and so honored to introduce you to someone who really is one of the leading authorities in the world on natural medicine. Dr. Murray's a graduate and faculty member and serves on the Board of Regents at Bastyr University. He co-authored a textbook of natural medicine, the definitive textbook on naturopathic medicine for physicians, and as well as the consumer version, the Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine. He's written over 30 other books. He is also recently written a book called What Drug Companies Won't Tell You and What Your Doctor Doesn't Know. We're extremely honored to have him on today. Dr. Murray, thanks again for coming on the show to talk to us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So what compelled you to write this book?
Well, I think it's really a travesty how most Americans have kind of been led astray to good health by relying so heavily on the marketing of the drug industry. Most of the common health conditions that Americans are faced with really owe their origin to diet, lifestyle, and our attitude. And trying to overcome those issues with pills amounts to using them as biochemical Band-Aids. And in the process, the pills aren't that effective in the long term. And in many cases, they end up causing more problems. So what I wanted to do in this book was really help people understand their health conditions and provide a rational approach to them taking the right steps to address those issues and get on the path to better health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you're really addressing it in a much more holistic way rather than just, you know, putting a Band-Aid over the symptom. It's really addressing the wider cause of the issue.
Yeah, I think good medicine always involves trying to identify the underlying cause first. You know, we don't get depressed because we're deficient in Prozac. We don't develop arthritis because our joints lack Advil or Motrin. You know, we're really kind of conditioned to look to drugs first instead of really looking at ways in which we can support our body, support our physiology. And, you know, the more I learn about how our bodies work, it's truly amazing that we can even be healthy with many people's current diets, lifestyles, and attitude. But, you know, we're really a resilient organism, and we can withstand a lot of abuse. But on the flip side, if we give our body, mind, and spirit the right support, miracles can happen.
Dr. Murray, this is Rick. And again, thank you for joining us today. But I wanted to ask you a question. You know, there's been other books written exposing the truth about the drug companies and the FDA. Now, how is your book? Tell us how your book is different.
Well, my book focuses a little bit on the issues, the problems with the drug companies and the FDA and the whole medical system. But it really is a solutions-oriented book, and it's designed to help people get results with a more natural approach. And I think that's what really sets it apart. You know, there are other books, and they tend to just harp on the problem. And if they do provide solutions, the solutions that they typically provide just aren't very credible. Everything that I recommend is based upon the science. And people are shocked when they realize that there's a better scientific rationale on the use of these natural approaches to health than there are for many of the drugs that are in vogue. It's a great myth out there that natural medicines aren't scientific. The truth of the matter is that there's a tremendous body of scientific evidence on the use of diet, lifestyle modification, the influence of our attitude, as well as the proper use of nutritional and herbal products to help us improve our health.
Now, is it true that you've collected over 70,000 articles from scientific literature?
Yeah, you know, as I said, there's a huge body of evidence, and my role has been to kind of digest this scientific evidence and try and put it out there in a language that that people can understand. And it's exciting to see what's happened in the last 30 years. You know, more and more people are looking to natural medicine for good reason. I think they're frustrated. They realize that, you know, in many cases they're suffering more from going the conventional medical route. You know, a good example of that is these drugs that are used to treat osteoarthritis, which is the most common form of arthritis. The way that these drugs work is to reduce the activity of enzymes that produce inflammatory and pain-causing compounds. But in the same process, they also block enzymes that build cartilage. And osteoarthritis, this common form of arthritis, is characterized by a breaking down of that cartilage. So you take a drug that suppresses the symptoms but actually promotes the progression of the disease process. In the long run, you're going to suffer much, much more. And on the flip side, you know, there are safe and effective natural approaches that are designed to help the cartilage cell build cartilage and help restore the proper gel-like structure that can help prevent that bone rubbing on bone. And, you know, in the book, I highlight the fact that more Americans have lost their lives by taking drugs like Bextra, Vioxx, and Celebrex. These are the newer class of drugs. And lost their lives in the Vietnam War. Over 60,000 people took these arthritis medications and died. You know, a little bit of advice I try to tell people is never take a pill that has more serious side effects than you have symptoms. You're not going to die from joint pain, but if you take some of these medications, particularly for a long period of time, they can rob you of your health and actually could cause the loss of your life.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting too because it seems like the drug companies, you know, their research is biased because I mean a lot of it's profit driven, and so to have someone, you know, collecting all of this research, you say what drug companies won't tell you, is that an aspect of what drug companies won't tell you in terms of the research?
Very good question. 90% of the research that's done on drugs in America is conducted by organizations called clinical research organizations. These are companies that the drug companies pay to do the research. Because the drug companies pay for the research, they own it. So what happens a lot is that they kind of hide the data. They're not forthcoming. If I was health czar for a day, there'd be two changes I would make. Mm-hmm. One is I would make research transparent. That means that if you sponsor a study, that study has to get published. Many of these drugs are approved based on the strength of these double-blind studies, and the drug companies may have to do 10 studies to actually get one or two or three or four that they'll actually be able to file with the FDA. Now, we're learning more and more that we can't trust those initial studies. A good example of that is the diabetes medication Avandia. The initial research on Avandia just looked fabulous, fantastic. It was a breakthrough drug. So doctors started prescribing it like crazy for the treatment of type 2 diabetes, which is a big problem in America. So all these doctors are making these prescriptions for Avandia. Then all of a sudden, you know, things just didn't quite look right. They weren't getting the results that they expected. And when they got around to doing legitimate research where they had independent analyses of double-blind studies where you take people with diabetes and one group doesn't get any treatment at all and the other group gets the drug Avandia, the group that was getting the Avandia was dying, had a 64% increased risk of having a fatal heart attack compared to the group that was not treated at all.
Wow.
The U.S. Senate launched an investigation. It's a 344-page report. They wanted to understand, you know, why the FDA allowed this drug to be on the market and why they allowed it to continue to be on this on the market, despite the fact that it's now estimated that this drug caused over 83,000 heart attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something's wrong with our system, and I highlight that in the book, and I also highlight, well, you have type 2 diabetes. What can you do? Well, you can do a lot. You know, for most common health conditions, at the very most, we should be using these drugs as kind of, you know, temporary aids, like a crutch, or if I hurt my arm, I may need to put it in a sling, but if I keep it in that sling, it's going to wither my arm. And that's what happens when we rely on these drugs long-term in many cases. They actually weaken our physiology and make us prone to other health problems, and that's not a good thing. You know, we know through modern science to a much greater degree what are the causative factors of these health conditions, and the drugs just don't address those issues. As I said earlier, diet, lifestyle, and our attitude are critical in addressing those key areas, and there's so much that we can do that people just aren't knowledgeable knowledgeable about, and they can't rely on the doctors because the doctors haven't been trained. They've been trained to push drugs and surgery and other aggressive therapies, which, you know, I don't want to throw the baby out with the wash. We've all had our lives touched in nearly miraculous ways by advances in modern medicine. That's not what the book's about. It's not about bashing the drugs. It's about education and educating, well, you know, maybe some of these drugs aren't a really good idea to be on, and what can I do if I don't go on this drug route? And I think that's what people really resonate with the book.
Right,
right. Well, one of the questions that we're going to get to after the break is going to be a question about what you feel is the most important thing that the drug companies aren't telling us and that most doctors don't know. And I have to ask you this question. How did you get started in natural medicine when you were younger? How did you end up going down this path? Because I think it's fascinating.
Well, thank you. It's kind of a long story, so I'll give you the short one. Basically, I had some health challenges, and conventional medicine, you know, wasn't providing the answer. So, at the urging of my father, who had my dad had developed a condition called Bell's palsy, where the facial muscles basically, the nerves basically stop working, so that the face becomes paralyzed. And he saw a naturopathic physician, and this doctor utilized some acupuncture and physical therapy techniques that literally brought my dad's face back to life, and it was totally amazing. And so he encouraged me to go and see this naturopath, and I went, and it was a life-changing experience. And the more I learned about it, the more I realized, gee, this is fun. I want to learn more. So I just kept learning and learning, and you know, changed my focus from pre-law to pre-medicine, and went to Bastyr University in Seattle, and you know, then I kind of got hooked on educating and writing about natural medicine, and that's what I've been doing for almost 30 years now.
Well, the smartest thing you did was change from pre-law to the medicine, the natural medicine. I can tell you
Oh, man, that's for sure. Yeah. And that's a familiar story, too, I'll tell you what. Well, we're going to talk more to Dr. Murray when we get back from the break. You're listening to Awaken Life, KKNW.
At the law offices of Richard D. Seward, we care about our clients. We offer important legal advice and services to help them grow their wealth and protect it. We manage the risks and help the financially distressed through the recovery process. We are committed and dedicated to helping people throughout Western Washington and beyond with our expertise in business, real estate, tax law, and debt relief. Find us at richardseward.com or call us at 360-876-6425. We care about you.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
No, you're not alone, and it's not just you. The things you're experiencing are actually being felt around the world, and there is something you can do about it. Tune in for It's Not Just You with Lorelei Spiegelman, Susan Wayman, and Siobhan Mitchell, three professional women of wisdom who compare current events and how they offer you insight into your own personal world. Monday morning at 9 a.m.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Awaken Life. We're talking to Dr. Michael T. Murray, naturopathic doctor, leader in the field of global leader in the field of natural medicine, really a global game changer. He's done interviews from ABC 2020, Dateline, CBS Sunday Morning, and we're just so thankful to have him here. And we're talking about his new book, What the Drug Companies Won't Tell You and Your Doctor Doesn't Know. And you know, we were talking a little bit over the break. I mean, Michael, I mean, like, when these drug companies are making decisions about, you know, the research that they're bringing in, I mean, you were saying that sometimes it's, I mean, the one thing you said, it's a $7 billion industry.
It's bigger than that. I mean, We're talking, you know, multi billion dollars in just some classes of drugs. For example, these drugs that are used in the treatment of osteoporosis. These bisphosphonates like Fosamax, Actonel, and Boniva, that's a $7 billion drug category. And when you start looking at how these drugs work, they're not very effective. And, in fact, I think more women have been harmed by taking these drugs and have seen benefits. And I touch on this in the book. And, you know, when we start looking at these individual cases of people who have taken a medication that, you know, most doctors are prescribing them because they believe that they're providing benefit, but all they know is what they've been taught and what they've been fed is basically what the drug companies want them to hear, and that's not always the full disclosure. And it's estimated that over 100,000 people die each year from taking prescription medications as they are prescribed. So we're not talking about overdose, but many of these drugs cause, you know, serious side effects that can take a person's life. I mean, it's estimated that adverse drug reactions are the fourth leading cause of death in America, right behind heart disease, cancer, and stroke. So, wow. You know, again, you know, people need to take charge of their health. They have to do what they can in terms of diet, lifestyle, and attitude, and use medications appropriately. And again, I don't want to throw the baby out with the wash. There's many times medications are life-saving and absolutely necessary, but for most common health conditions, boy, I would certainly exhaust all avenues before relying on a drug.
Yeah. And what about in terms of diagnosis? I mean, there's ways that doctors are trained to identify certain conditions, and some of those are symptom-free. People are actually getting a diagnosis of a condition without even showing a symptom of that condition. Is that also a way that this is showing up?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. In the book, I have a couple of quotes from Dr. Marcia Angell, who was the first female editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and she held that position for over 20 years. So if anyone knows the working of the drug companies, it's her.
Yeah.
And she has a quote, "Once upon a time, drug companies promoted drugs to treat disease. Now it is often just the opposite. They promote their diseases. They promote diseases to fit their drugs." And, you know, this is certainly true when we look at high cholesterol levels, these statin drugs, which have never been shown to be effective in women, are being prescribed to virtually everyone. Were once considered to be normal cholesterol levels. What the drug companies are often good at is lowering the level of what is considered normal. So, you know, in these cases of high cholesterol, boy, you know, they're qualifying just about everybody. And doctors are misinterpreting the studies. They're not reading the studies. They're relying on the drug industry sales reps. I mean, the drug industry spends on average about $36,000 per physician per year in education, and that's basically a brainwashing, trying to get these doctors to buy into what they're selling. And you know, a lot of these drugs are houses of cards. You know, these bisphosphonate drugs for osteoporosis—they're not going to be on the market for the next 2 to 3 years max. They'll be taken off the market because the research is so clear that they're providing little benefit, and many women are suffering needlessly by taking them. Mm. And I think these statin drugs, there's going to be more and more coming to light about how they are not that effective. They're not effective in women at all. They have very limited efficacy, but they're being prescribed to virtually everyone going in to see the doctor. So all these issues, I think, will be dealt with as we move forward, but you know, hopefully people will read my book and get started a little early.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's really the awareness that's the essential leading factor for that change to occur. And this is, that's why these kinds of conversations, it feels like, are so important, because of the, you know, the injustice behind, you know, diagnosing someone with something that really, you know, like you're saying, they're lowering the level of cholesterol that's required, you know, to make the diagnosis. And I mean, I maybe they're rationalizing that by saying, well, better safe than sorry. I mean, is that sort of the, is that sort of the view that they're, I mean,
no, they don't care. They just want to make more money.
The first
chapter of my book, the title is A Matter of Trust, Making Medicine or Making Money. And the drug industry is intent on one thing, making a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about diagnosis, the way in which they cast such a wide net for these osteoporosis drugs is that there's a couple of different ways to report bone density. Women go in for these bone density studies. One is called a T-score, and the other is called a Z-score. And the difference is this. If you go in and you get a T-score, that's comparing your bone density to a woman that's 25 years old. So if you're 50 and you're healthy, your bone is going to be less dense than it was when you were 25.
Yeah.
So the doctor gets the report and sees that the bone density is not as good as it was when it was 20, when, you know, compared to a 25-year-old. And they prescribe the medication. A more accurate determinant of bone density is age-related, and that's called the Z-score.
Yeah.
But that is rarely reported to the doctors. I think there's some collusion there with the drug companies.
Mm-hmm.
Drug companies in the area of AIDS and hepatitis C will actually pay diagnostic companies basically a bounty for every patient that they diagnose.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
A bounty.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
my
God. I mean, because, you know, a lot of these conditions are going to be on these drugs for a long time. Probably the rest of their lives. So, and these are high-priced medications. So, you know, if they pay $500 to a diagnostic company that identifies someone with hepatitis C, they're gonna make a lot more than that. They're gonna make up that money very quickly.
Yeah, you know, and this, it really feels like this, you know, what you're talking about in the book and what's going on, the injustice. It's something that more and more Americans are feeling, and not just within the realm of the drug company, but just the way that, you know, large corporations are, through greed and so on.
Corporate profits.
Corporate profits. So, I mean, is what you see, like, in terms of, like, the Occupy Wall Street movement and some of these other things going on in the country, I mean, do you feel like this is an expression of some of the same frustration that's clearly outlined with the drug companies?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of issues. And, you know, healthcare is a huge concern. And if you look at, some of these conditions, and when we talk about healthcare reform, what they're really talking about in Washington, D.C. is how are we going to pay for all these things, and not so much, hey, let's reform the way that we focus on health. Let's reform our healthcare delivery. No, they're just talking about, well, how are we going to pay for this? And
right.
It's really unfortunate, because the problem is really, I think, how people are treated. And if we take a look at a condition like diabetes, which definitely type 2 diabetes, no question, the majority of cases owes its origin to diet and lifestyle, it's going to bankrupt this country. We cannot afford to pay all the medical costs associated with having diabetes. And we have, this is a near epidemic. The numbers are staggering right now. We have 20 million Americans with type 2 diabetes, and it's estimated that in the next 10 years, that number could double. And if we just can't afford to pay for that. So how do we address it? Well, I think we address it by getting people to make some changes in their diet, lifestyle, and attitude.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And through raising awareness. I mean, it just feels like, that's where the change starts, is where, you know, people becoming more aware of the ways in which they're being led into unhealthy lifestyles. I mean, not to victimize the population, but it's just, there's, again, you know, because of these profit motives, people are, you know, they're being encouraged to eat excessive amounts of unhealthy food and the FDA says, well, they should exercise more, you know, but really it's like that there's just, these things aren't regulated because it's, you know, there's just so many people that have their hands in the pockets of the people that are making the big decisions.
Hunger Free Forever, that book that you wrote, Dr. Murray, that caught my attention. That's on my reading list.
Yeah. Well, that book is a solution to help people achieve and maintain their ideal body weight. Achieving your ideal body weight is not about deprivation. We know that diets don't work. We have to help people feel satisfied. We have to basically address the underlying issues that contribute to weight loss, blood sugar instability, and loss of appetite control and portion control. And that's really what our book, Hunger Free Forever, is all about. I love helping people. I love trying to make a difference in people's lives. I think that's important for all of us to do. And I know that I've developed programs and recommendations that really work for people, and we just need to get it out there. And I appreciate the opportunities like the one today and sharing with the listeners. And I hope that they'll take action. You know, they can go to my website, drmurray.com, and learn more about me and my work. If they're sincere about losing weight, they can go to pgx.com, which is a revolutionary new dietary fiber matrix that we've discovered that has an unparalleled ability in helping people achieve and maintain their ideal body weight through some very interesting mechanisms. It stabilizes blood sugar levels. It reduces sugar cravings. It helps people feel satisfied. And if you can help a person feel satisfied and they're not getting that stimulus to eat, then weight loss becomes nearly effortless. And that's what we found through our program, Hunger Free Forever.
Right.
Yes.
I see what you're doing there's people out there that I refer to as global game changers. And it just feels to me like the work that you're doing, the way that you're stepping out is really, it's inspiring. I mean, because the more and more people that are willing to speak up around this stuff, the faster we're going to move into really a new way of life and a new system in this country in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. And basically, what I am is I'm a medical researcher. I read medical journal articles and I try to digest it and then restated in a way that people can appreciate and understand. A lot of times there's so much confusion out there. You know, one study says one thing, the next one says just the opposite.
Right.
I try to be a voice of reason and help guide people to a better lifestyle, a better outcome. You know, living healthier, longer, and with more passion. Those are good things.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more to Dr. Murray about there's 27 million Americans on antidepressants, which is, you know, that's close to home to me. So I want to hear about what he's going to say. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. Hi, this is Adam Seward.
And I'm Rick Seward.
And together we have partnered to bring you Awakened Life as part of our commitment to supporting the unfolding of human and planetary consciousness. That's also why we decided to create the Awakening Foundation. Well, what's the Awakening Foundation? The Awakening Foundation is a nonprofit organization that's designed to help facilitate the evolution of consciousness through the creation and distribution of what we're calling Awakened Media. We'd love to connect with you. For more information on the Awakening Foundation, go to adamseward.com. If you'd like to find out more or to talk with us about how you can support the mission, fill out the contact form, and we'll get back to you right away. Thanks for listening to Awaken Life. We look forward to connecting with you. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Awaken Life. Man, this has been, what an hour this has been. I mean, talking to Dr. Michael Murray about natural medicine and really, well, like his book says, what the drug companies won't tell you and what your doctor doesn't know. It says here that a recent report came out that over 27 million Americans are on antidepressant drugs. What, Dr. Murray, what is it that the drug companies aren't going to tell us about these in particular drugs? Because
oh my gosh, oh you'd be shocked. And I mean,
here we go.
What I uncover in my book is just amazing. But the first thing that they don't want you to know, I mean, these drugs are not very effective. The therapeutic advantage over a placebo is very slim. 90% of the results that are achieved with an antidepressant drug have been shown to be achieved by a placebo, basically a dummy pill, an inert ingredient. In the book, I highlight what Eli Lilly did when they got Prozac approved, and how this came to light was very interesting. A large file was delivered to the editor of the British Medical Journal a year or two ago, and what they about 3 or 4 years ago, what they found was that When Eli Lilly got Prozac approved, it was based on the strength of 4 clinical studies. It turned out that they had done 10 studies. Why didn't they submit 10? Well, in 6 of those 10 studies, the placebo produced better results than the Prozac. They also did something that was, I think, unethical. Normally, when you come out with a new drug, you conduct what are called the triple-arm studies, where you have a known drug, the new drug, and a placebo. Mm. Well, they did those studies, but what they did wrong, what I think is unethical, they did not break people up into the groups at the very beginning of the study. They had them go through a 4 to 6 week washout period where they wouldn't be taking any medication. The problem was that anybody that died during that time was immediately placed in the placebo group. If you take out the people that were never in the study because they had died for whatever reason, what the data showed was that there was a 20 times greater risk of committing suicide in the Prozac group than there was compared to the placebo or the other older drug. Now, I mean, that's a big thing that the drug companies don't want people to know. And now, fortunately, that risk is very low, but it does happen. And, you know, anytime you read in the newspaper, whether it's Columbine or Virginia Tech or the Army doctor in Texas or somebody else going a little nuts and killing people and then or themselves, you have to wonder, are these drugs responsible? Because there's no question that sometimes they adversely affect a person's mood so bad that they make them psychotic, and they'll either hurt other people or they'll hurt themselves. So, you know, it's not a good situation. So, in the book, I highlight the work of Dr. Martin Seligman. I don't know if you've followed his work, Adam, but I think he is to psychology what Einstein was to physics, what Pauling was to chemistry. I mean, he is the real deal. And, his work, he's responsible, largely responsible for a new movement in psychology called positive psychology, and I focus a lot on that, and I'm sure you do as well. And some of the things that they're discovering they're able to do in helping people improve their quality of their life, their mood, every aspect of their life with simple psychological interventions is just amazing. For example, there was a study that was done where they took people with intractable depression, and they took these people and they divided them up into 6 groups. The group that showed the greatest improvement in mood scores, both short-term and 6 months after the study was over, they were asked to do something very simple. they were asked to write a letter of appreciation and hand deliver it to the person that they wrote about. And they found that that simple act of gratitude had the biggest impact on improving mood scores. And again, these were people who had not responded to any medication, any counseling, any other intervention.
Right. I like that one.
Unbelievable. Well, this whole field of expressing gratitude is an example of what is being used in positive psychology. And think about it, Richard. Every person that I know that's long-lived, that's the polite way of saying old, who I respect, admire, like, every person I can think of that meets those criteria, they all live with a tremendous state of grace, and they all are fantastic at sharing their appreciation and acknowledging their gratitude. And when we all start doing that, it's very infectious. And
I tell you what, you're speaking my language now. I know, I like this language.
So when you look at the results of this study, so they did this study, and they had a checkup 6 months later. The people that had participated in this gratitude exercise, they still had higher mood scores. Why? Was it because they did this exercise once? No. They had an epiphany.
Yeah.
They did something that made them feel so good about themselves and their lives that they started instituting it in their lives. And as a result, their lives got better.
Right.
And the last few years I was in practice in Seattle, I saw mainly people for depression. And I think the reason was that I was very good at helping people feel better, and I found simple things had profound effects. A lot of times when people are depressed or they're not, not living life to its fullest, they lose the affinity to the things in life that make life worth living.
And
one of the tricks that I would use is I would find out about what they like to do. And in many cases, they hadn't done these things for many years.
Sure.
So whether it was taking their wife out to dinner, whether it was, playing golf or going fishing or whatever, I would actually write it down on a prescription pad that, that would be part of their that would be part of my prescription to them to help them feel better about life. People have to find their passion. They have to engage in it on a regular basis. I mentioned Dr. Martin Seligman. He was responsible for developing an animal model for human depression called the learned helplessness model. And it was from this model of human depression that he made discoveries that I think are extremely profound. And we need to empower people and get them learning how they can improve the quality of their life themselves rather than trying to improve it artificially by taking something. Their life is still going to be the same.
Sure.
They take Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, whatever. But if we can help them with learning some tools, some tricks, some strategies, some techniques that will help them function better and enjoy life more, boy, they take care of things themselves.
You probably know, too, that things like mindfulness are very powerful in helping people with depression and anxiety. And one of the things that I teach is I teach gratitude as a mindfulness practice, because gratitude is the meditation of coming into the present moment, because it's the meditation of focusing on what you already have. Rather than, putting your attention on what you don't have or what isn't there, it's becoming mindful of the moment in the sense of really looking at what's already there. And I don't know.
In your work, you must have noticed the same things that I noticed. And when people would come in to see me for depression, they were always kind of surprised, because 90% of the time we would focus on their social environment, their relationships, how they handled stress, and just a little bit about their diet and lifestyle and supplement routine. And, one of the biggest stressors for most people is their relationship. And the biggest thing that I would hear from wives and husbands was that they just didn't feel appreciated. I think the greatest human need is not the need to feel loved, but it's the need to feel appreciated. And what's great about life is the things that we really want in life, whether it's joy, magic, passion, share these things with the people around us, we generally can receive more of it. And so when people are in that space of not feeling appreciated, to help them get out of it, they have to learn how to express appreciation to others. And it's amazing, you know, it's true. When we want to feel more love, we have to express more love. If we want to have more joy and magic in our lives, we have to be more joyful, instilling and instill magic in those around us. And my gosh, it's just too good to be true at times.
I agree. And it's interesting because, one thing I've often said to my clients, because that's one complaint as a therapist that I get quite a bit, is I don't feel appreciated. And one of the things that I like to point out is that if you're busy feeling unappreciated, well, you can guarantee you're not appreciating anyone else. And so really what you say you're not getting is something that you're not giving either. And you might find this interesting. For the first month of our show, I gave my dad an assignment, and it was to focus on gratitude, the practice of gratitude.
Yes.
And Dad, you've said that was one of the most powerful things.
Oh, it works. I'm living proof. It works.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there that are feeling the same things that I'm feeling. Listening to you two talk. I mean, what a nice thing. What a great thing to have a son and his dad on a radio show such as this. It's just, you know, I have three children, and they're 17, 14, and 6. So, I put myself in your shoes, Richard, and just I'm beaming with these. I'm very excited for you. That's a nice thing, right?
Oh, Dr. Murray, you're right on. I'm hoping that down the road we can get you and your son on the show, maybe.
Well, he's in the throes of, he's 14. He's a teenager right now. I think I have to endure a little, I guess I have to endure a little bit right now.
Yeah.
Well, Dad, you endured plenty. I think it's fair to say.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm excited. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful ride. But we, Dr. Murray, can people buy your book? How does someone buy your book?
This book, What the Drug Companies Won't Tell You and Your Doctor Doesn't Know, is available wherever books are sold, especially in the Seattle area. I lived in Seattle for 30 years. I think I have a good following up there, and most people could probably find the book and maybe even some of the local health food stores, but definitely in local bookstores, the Barnes and Noble like stores like that. And people can also go online. They can go to drmurray.com. They can go to any place books are sold and pick up the book. And it's a fun read. We focused a lot on the problem. But I promise you, 80% of the book is looking at solutions, and it's really empowering to look at the way in which nature has provided answers for our common health concerns. And I certainly look forward to the future when the use of these natural approaches becomes the dominant form of medicine in our society.
Yeah. And for the person out there, Dr. Murray, who maybe they're on Prozac, maybe they're on one of these medications, I mean, what would you tell them? What would you advise them to do?
Well, I would, in the Seattle area, there's so many really good naturopaths and therapists like yourself and others that can help them. I would encourage them to find someone that can help them get real answers instead of get being propped up on a drug that, I don't think it's going to provide them the long-term benefit that they're looking for. I mean, one of the side effects of these antidepressant drugs that doesn't get a lot of press because they don't want it out is that they can put a lot of weight on people. That people might gain, 20, 30, 40 pounds or more after being on these drugs for a while.
Dr. Murray, thank you so much for coming on today. Just really appreciate the work you're doing. And thanks to anyone who's listening. We'll stay in touch, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Thanks
Murray.
So much.
Take care.
Okay.